Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
804 Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Reminder, coming up in just over 15 minutes, we will visit with the Great Barrier Thief, Dyson Daniels, the most improved player in the NBA. Get a chance to catch up with him. Find out, you know, look, man, what's the hand-eye coordination drills like? He's got the best hand-eye coordination probably in the NBA at this point with some of the stuff he's able to do. And so I think that's going to be a fun conversation. So much fun all day today as well. We're also going to get an interview with Grant McCauley coming up at 8:40. Get that that look into what the Braves will be rocking with tonight as they face off with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Appreciate you guys calling in, 404-726-0929. We're going to get to a Life of Squid here in just a minute. Do want to get out to the phones really, really quick, though. We talked about, look, man, confidence level in the Atlanta Falcons defense. We talked about whether or not Bo is misstepping by not buying his wife a Mother's Day gift, you know, 2.5 weeks after buying her a push present. So I think he's lost his mind.
Absolutely,
he's crazy. But you know what? Bo's going to Bo. And here we are, man. He's wearing it on his chest.
I mean, look, you can't overextend. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, the good news is we already have a couple of phone calls from some guys that I'm pretty sure are going to talk you into some stuff. Let's first go out to Dallas, Georgia. Squidbillion, tell this man, Squidbillion, don't let him do this, dude.
Morning, everybody. Morning, Elvis Squid.
Sir.
Michael Patrick, how you doing?
Living the dream, man.
Did I get it right? I would be very surprised if I got it right.
No, it's not. That's not it. Nope.
Well, next time maybe. Allie Mack, keeping the guys in line like a pro.
Yeah, I'm doing my best.
She is.
Look, I'm excited about the Falcons. I was excited last year. I'm even more excited this year after the offseason and just what the team is looking like. I'm with Elder Squid, 11-6. Let's do it. I'm interested, not right now, but I'm interested in what you guys think. Like, if you could design the rivalry jersey, what would that look like? It'd be a fun little game to play. But yeah, look, Elder Squid, I gotta say, like, you don't have to break the bank a second time, but, you know, Mother's Day, you gotta get something memorable, something that lasts. And I can get you Squid Nation pricing on a mother pork chop photo shoot. That's how it's been.
There you are,
Squidbillion. Appreciate the phone call, man. Yeah, maybe a you know, Squid Nation hoodie on our first Mother's Day.
Well, that'll be pretty easy. I will say, you know, for me, if I could create the perfect Falcons jersey, dude, I'm going back to the red jersey with the black letters, the silver britches, and the red helmet. And yeah. Then my alternate is the black jersey, black helmet, silver britches.
There you go.
I love those look. That late 80s, early 90s look where they, you know, obviously went back in black, I think, in like 91 or whatever. But, dude, that's where it's at for me.
I'm just nervous with these rivalry jerseys. They're going to do too much. Like, they're going to, you know, put like, you know, they're going to make them like peach colored or something for, you know.
Oh, God.
For, like,
I mean, in baseball, there are some really odd city connects. So I'm fearful as well.
I actually like the White Sox Chicago Bulls one, though. Allie, you said you got a couple tweets that need to talk to Bo a little bit.
Yeah, we have some differing opinions going on Twitter responding to whether Bo needs to get Amy a push present and a Mother's Day gift or if it can be rolled into one. And Joe Salome said, You can call these gifts and presents whatever you want, but I think the best gift is being amazing, an amazing father, and a loving husband, and someone that supports and cherishes and nurtures that relationship. Joe.
Stop yourself,
come
Joe.
On.
That's my dude. Joe knows I'm already that. I'm obviously already doing that. Too much thank simply. You, Joe.
But then on the other side of it, Kenny says you need separate gifts. It appears lazy and cheap to roll it into one.
Spot on.
Well,
spot on. Kenny, I think Kenny's spot on. Let's get one more phone call really quick. Let's go out to our buddy Chief out in South Fulton. Chief, tell this man, what's happening, Chief?
What's happening, Chief? First of all, I got to say, Ellie Mac, welcome to the show. My name is Chief. And anything you need is bootleg, I can get it for you. If I can't get it for you, you don't need it.
I love it. I love that, Chief. Thank you.
That's right. But Tribal Chief.
Sir?
Let me give you a little voice on the whole gift thing. You're the meat man, right?
That's right.
It speaks for itself. That's all she needs. Look here.
Whoa!
That's all she needs.
Big pause.
You know, Allie Mac, congratulations. I enjoy listening to you so far. So, hey, keep the good work going. Man. All right, guys. See you next week.
Are in. Thank you, Chief. Just always an animated conversation. Always an animated conversation with that man.
Tell you what, Mike. It's been heavy Squid Nation. It's been heavy Allie's Army. It has been a light week for the Mafia. some would say they're just non-existent these days. All right, Dallin. That's right. I will definitely be putting some Baron Burton's W sauce on my meat this weekend because why not? Maybe I'll ship some down to Dyson Daniels down there, down under, and let him taste some down there for his victory with the most improved player. And my friends at New Realm Brewing, the Owl and Lager, the official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics. So, this Jordan Hudson, Bill Belichick thing, which I agree, I know Carl said this yesterday on Dixon Bell. Imagine if we had that freak show here. I mean, imagine if that's what the foul, you know, all you people that wanted Belichick, imagine if we were dealing with that freak show with Jordan Hudson and Belichick. I mean, you know, you couldn't talk to the head coach because some, you know, 23-year-old screaming at you about, we ain't answering that question. Well, I don't know what's happening in the Belichick household, but Jennifer Belichick, who is the wife of Steve Belichick, y'all know who that is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's Bill's son.
Sure.
Was on Instagram, and it's an Instagram account belonging to her, and she put this: publicists act in a professional manner and don't storm off set,
ooh,
delaying an interview.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Now, old Bill, you need to shut your wife up. She doesn't need to be talking, Steve. That's distracting.
Pot calling the kettle black.
We don't need that. We're on to fall camp. We don't need that. New Belichick, I'm assuming, will just sit there while Jordan Hudson screams at Steve and Jennifer. It's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing I know of
it's
her now.
It's so odd, dude. I'm so glad you brought up. I thought Carl and Mike did a great job yesterday talking about this. Like, we dodged such a massive bullet with that. And all the people that were chirping on the socials and on Reddit being like, can't believe God's hired Raheem over Bill. I haven't heard a freaking word in months about that entire saga.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you know, one of those guys was still wanted Belichick recently. You know, Mike wanted Belichick recently when all the stuff happened with Raheem and the timeout and stuff, and now we're all happy. And look, that's what happens. You know, we second guess. That's what we do as fans and as media members. You can't, you know, that's part of it. But thank God we didn't have to do with that. I mean, my goodness, that is a nightmare we didn't need. I got a question for you guys.
Okay.
And this is one that I actually contemplated for like 30 seconds and then realized, nah, this is easy. There was a question put out and said, you can have $1 million or you have to play against prime Tiger Woods for 72 holes. If you beat him on a single hole, you win $100 million.
Mm.
However,
that'll eat.
However, if you don't, you go to jail for 1 year. And
that's not
I
good.
Read this, and I was in the gym, and I read this, and I said, do I get my strokes? Well, and if you know what I'm – because if you are a golfer, you have a handicap. And basically your handicap is based on average how many strokes away from par you are. And so you get those to get you to par. And so when you play in events like a play in, you know, MGA, you know, we get our handicap comes into play, right? So do you get that again, this thing? That's what my first thought was. And then I go, who the hell am I kidding? Who am I kidding?
Take the million.
First off, the risk involved is jail. I don't think so. Not a plan of mine. Not a life plan of mine.
Yeah.
And not, you know, it's almost like, Allie, I kind of thought about it like this. When I thought about the jail part, I'm like, yeah, I could cheat on my taxes and hope I get away with it. Or I could get caught and maybe go to jail because I can't pay all the money I got, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Mm.
Like, is it worth it? It's not. It's really not. It's just not. So, no, I'll take the million and be happy, right?
I don't know, dude.
I agree with you, Bo. I'm not going to even chance some jail time.
No, here's the thing. You're telling me, so how many, let's see, how many par threes is that? You're not going to beat them on a par five. There's zero chance of that.
Well, it's like, 72 holes. That means it's four rounds.
Prime
right?
Tiger's probably finishing 16 under.
So that means there's eight par. That would be there's four almost on the 72 hole golf course. There's normally four par.
Yeah, so you're 16 par threes.
Yeah, but I mean, if I can hit a good shot on a par three, what the hell do you think Tiger can do?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean he's going to do it on all 16. I don't know, man.
Not to mention, you're playing against Tiger in his prime, so he's like 28, and he's still like. You know, hitting up Perkins waitresses.
Oh, that's a good.
And
point.
He's in his prime.
Still working out with the Navy SEALs.
Yeah, he's. Yeah. I mean, this is like peak Tiger. This man beat Rocco, whatever his name was.
Immediate
on one leg, in an 18-hole playoff.
Yeah.
And pulled away from him after playing 72 holes that weekend at a U.S. Open, which is traditionally one of the longer. Tougher courses you can play.
I don't
now, that
mind
might have been like
this
Bay
decision.
Hill or something.
Yeah, I don't mind this decision from you. First and foremost, you know, let's be honest, $100 million, you're still not buying your wife a Mother's Day present. Also, you would not fare well in jail. I'm just going to throw that out there. So I don't mind this decision from you. For me, though, look, man, I think I'm going for it. Not going to lie to you. Like 72 holes, I actually got to beat them on one. I think a little bit more of myself than that. I don't know. 100 million changes the trajectory of your entire lineage.
But you can invest $1 million.
That's true, but like, man, that only, I don't know. Anyways,
yeah, dude.
We got to go to break. Got to. We got to go to break because on the other side, we've been talking about it. The great barrier thief, Dyson Daniels, will join us here on the morning shift. Cannot wait to talk to him. Did you guys know that he played Australian rules football growing up? That might be my first question. How did that impact that hand-eye coordination that led to so many steals this year? For the Atlanta Hawks. Stick with us here on the morning shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Theo 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us here on this beautiful Friday morning. A lot of fun so far on the show, man. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hopefully you guys are having a safe ride into work. We are going to go out to the phone lines and talk to Atlanta Hawks shooting guard and the NBA's most improved player. That is one Dyson Daniels. Dyson, I have no idea where you're at or what time it is, but it looks like you might have just got off the golf course not too long ago, buddy.
I was out playing golf this morning. I'm back home in Australia now, but right now it's 10:30, so getting ready for bed.
Well, I appreciate you talking to us before you turn in for the night, man. I got to tell you, so I'm doing some background, and I'm like, man, I wonder, you know, what's changed for Dyson Daniels this year? Why were the steals and the stocks and everything up so much this year? What led to you being the most improved? And as I look into your background, now I cannot stop watching highlights of Australian rules football. Like, I'm so enamored with what this sport must be. I know you have a background in it, but you know, does that help in any way? Does Australian rules football, did that transition any way to your NBA career or help you in any way with what you were trying to do on the basketball court?
Yeah, it's funny because you look at the sports and they're kind of, you know, completely different to each other. But I think the similarities in it are the, you know, the hand-eye coordination and being able to have quick hands. You know, in football, Australian football, it's a lot of tackling, and if you get tackled, you got to handball it, so you got to get rid of it quick. So I think having the quick hands translates to the defensive side of the floor, and I'll say those are probably the two most similar things when it comes to that, and also just reading the game as well.
Well, I want to ask basketball questions, but now I want to know about how the golf round went. I mean, what's your handicap? What kind of golfer are you, Dyson?
Yeah, I mean, I'm average. I'm about a 15 over now, but you know, shot 85 today, so 13 over, so getting better.
Plus four on those club links. Plus four.
As a horrible golfer and try to play a decent amount. You know, maybe I can get some lessons from you. Look. Dude, it was crazy because, you know, you spend a couple years in New Orleans, you come to Atlanta, and you just take off. You know, your steals go up by over a steal a game. You know, your points go up, your minutes, everything was just kind of clicked. Why did it just click all of a sudden? What was the difference in Atlanta for you and why you just took off this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously opportunity is a big one, and coming here and getting that starting role and playing a lot more minutes was, you know, really, really good for me. But it was my confidence, I think, was the main thing, you know, being confident in myself, you know, coming in, believing in myself, believing in my abilities. And, you know, I think my first 2 years wasn't really a reflection of, you know, how I could, you know, play and what kind of player I was. And, you know, getting traded to Atlanta was kind of the best thing that happened to me. I was able to get a fresh start and just come in and be myself. And, you know, Coach Q, my teammates, the whole coaching staff, the front office, you know, really believed in me from the get-go, and that made me, you know, confident in myself and just come out and play my game, be free.
We are talking with Hawks guard and the NBA's most improved player of the year, Dyson Daniels. Dyson, when you get an award like this, and congratulations, by the way, what do you do to celebrate? Where are you going to go to soak it all in now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm back home in Australia, so I got a lot of friends with me, and, you know, I love going to the pub, and, you know, they call it the bar in America, but the pub here, and, you know, having a few beers and stuff like that. So enjoying the off season for sure. But, you know, I think, you know, it's just more about spending time with friends and family. Obviously a little bit of reward for effort, getting the most improved player. And I spent a lot of, you know, a lot of hard work this year, you know, this season. So, you know, we didn't get the results we wanted, but I'm excited for the future. I think we have a really good team that can, you know, compete for championships in the future. So hopefully we can keep this core group of guys together.
Hey, what was the beer? Was it a Carlton Draught or maybe a Foster's or a Cooper's Brewery? What were you drinking? What were you guys sipping on?
Yeah, Carlton draft. Yep, that's the one.
That's
my favorite. Go on the tap, though. Has to be off the tap when it's at its best.
I do got to ask before we go any further, too. You were talking about got off the golf course not too long ago. What's the custom club length for a guy that's 6'7", 6'8", like yourself, man? Are you like plus 2.5? What kind of length are we dealing with here?
Well, I because my arms are so long, I don't need to get too much. So I got plus 2 inches from the regular club length. But I sometimes if I'm back home like I am now, I don't bring my clubs with me, so I use the rentals. So those ones don't help me. But I need to get some clubs while I'm home for sure, so I can have them while I'm out here.
Look, and I want to dive into this too. And we joke around about what's the difference and everything else. And I know that this award meant a lot to you. I'm curious though, when you did and you talked about, hey, it's maybe the best thing that ever happened in my career was coming to Atlanta. What was the conversations like once you got here between you and Quinn Snyder, you and Trey, about the expectations for you and what those guys wanted to map out in front of you for this past season?
Yeah, I think from day one I got to sit down with Quinn, when I first got to Atlanta, and I went into his office for, 20 minutes, and we just talked about, what this year is going to consist of. And he told me he just wanted me to go out there and be myself, play free. And, he believed in my abilities, and, there was no guaranteed starting spot or anything like that. So that had to be earned through the training camp and preseason and stuff like that. But, conversation with Quinn, Trey, I feel like we had chemistry from the start. I went out to Oklahoma and did a camp with Trey before the season even started. So just building that chemistry and then coming into the season, we really got along with each other. I feel like our games really complement each other. They're kind of complete opposites, which, help each other out. But, it's everyone on the team, just having that chemistry, guys believing in each other, trusting each other. And like I said, we didn't get to where we wanted to this year, but I really do think that if we keep this core group of guys together, we're going to develop together and the chemistry is going to be there. So we're going to become a really good team.
Dyson, I thought it was really cool, the video I think the NBA put out of when the announcement was made, you're sitting there with your parents and your brother, but also the when you went on TNT, your dad's behind you, and he pops in the video, and I know your dad played at NC State. How important have your parents been? I mean, there's all the stuff that happened on draft day where they walked out on stage with you and everything. Just how important have they been for you during your career?
Yeah, no, they've been very important. And, the dad and mom, they love their TV time, so that was always going to crash the interview. But, for me, growing up, they've been, in my corner the whole time. They've from juniors driving me, 3-4 hours, just to play basketball games and stuff like that. So, that they're in my close circle. I trust them with my whole heart, and I want to be able to give back to them. So, I'm just grateful to have such a close family and friend group that I can rely on and trust. And ever since the draft and coming into the NBA, obviously my family still lives in Australia, so it's a little harder to see them during the year, but it's good to, come back home after the season and stuff and catch up with them.
Finishing up with Dyson Daniels, the NBA's most improved player, and I want to talk about that for just a minute. You're the most improved player. It's obvious a couple of all seasons ago you put in that work to be improved and to improve every area of your game. How do you keep moving forward, though? Like, once you've won the most improved, like, this offseason, is there something certain that you're like, oh, I got to get this right, I got to get that right? I know that, you work on the spin move, driving the lane. We saw that a couple times last year. What will this offseason look like after coming off an award like most improved player?
Yeah, I think getting the most improved player is just a small direction in the way I want to go. And, I really think that I could win another one of these. Just I feel like I have so much more left in me to improve. And, just coming into this offseason, it's going to be a lot about, my shot, getting that down pat, being able to shoot off the dribble, have counter moves and stuff. Obviously, my spin into floater, spin into getting to the rim was my main counter this year. But it's about, having more wiggle to my game, being able to use a step back, being able to drive left better and finish over bigs and stuff like that. So this offseason, I don't have any Australian commitments with World Cup or Olympics, so it'll be a lot of just getting the work in and getting more wiggle to my game. So I'm looking forward to coming back next year and being a better player.
Joined by Dyson Daniels on the morning shift, or some call him the Great Barrier Thief. Hey, I don't know if you're a big Formula One fan. I am, and I've watched some of this stuff on Netflix, and they got the drivers, and they're doing these little drills with their eye-hand coordination. And I can just see you sitting there in Australia doing these types of drills where it lights up and your hand goes because of how good – you even mentioned your eye-hand coordination is, but the way you make these stills, it seems like you do – do you do some of these drills to help get better?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually seen the Formula One drills. I'm a Formula One fan where they, you know, test their reaction speed with those lights and stuff. And obviously being a Formula One driver, that's what you need to have. But I don't do those sort of drills, but – you know, I do a lot of stuff with like tennis balls and juggling and those sort of things. So just to, you know, get my hand-eye coordination going. But I think it's something I've always had and I'm being good at, and, you know, playing football, Australian football when I was younger, I got those skills as well. So, yeah, I think it's one thing, you either have it or you don't, but it's definitely something that you can work on and be better at.
There you have it, man. Now I'm buying juggling batons for my 4.5-year-old son because, you know, he's got to get right. Dyson, man, hey, get some good sleep. Appreciate you hanging out with us this morning.
I will. No, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. That's Dyson Daniels, Hawks shooting guard and NBA's most improved player, man. Just pleasure to talk to the guy. You can tell he's got this thing pointing in the right direction.
Dude, I don't know what I want to do more. Watch Formula One with him, play golf, or just go to the pub. Like, I mean, he seems like a dude that me and him have a lot of things in common. We both like to go to the pub, hit golf balls, and watch racing. I'm all in.
Yeah. All right, we do have to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk to some guy named Grant McCauley.
Who's
I don't
that?
Know. Yeah, I have no idea what we're going to talk about. We'll talk about the Braves series.
I don't know. I don't know if I like this.
I hear his wife is awesome.
Who's in the front runner for Spouse of the Year in the McCauley household? We'll have that conversation coming up on the other side. Stick with us. Grant McCauley, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, finishing up here on this beautiful Friday before I head to the Atlanta United media match here coming up this afternoon. You can catch that streaming on YouTube. I guess Atlanta United's YouTube. That'll be a lot of fun. You'll hear Conti and Longshore on the call for that. I will at some point today completely body Abe Gordon. Like, just completely clean this man. So that'll be a lot of fun. You'll want to look out for that.
I'm going to say this real quick. I know we got Mr. I would be so against you doing that if it wasn't Abe and Abe didn't do the things I know he's probably already doing, which is in his sly way. Like,
trying to embarrass me.
He respectfully talks trash like, yeah, that's not a good idea for you because you don't know what you're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Right now, we're going to go out to the phone lines and bring in our good buddy Grant McCauley, Braves insider for 92.9 The Game. Grant, look, man, one of the topics of the week has been people going for Spouse of the Year awards. I was alerted that you might have done some cleaning up last night, so hat tip to you, my friend. Nice work. There was all smiles this morning, my friend.
Hey, well, thank you. And there's a lot of cleaning to do, as you can attest to. But little by little, piece by piece, we're finding a place for everything. So I think we're seeing the vision all come together. But, yeah, I wanted to do my part last night. I had a little extra energy, so I got a few things done.
It was amazing. I saw countertops. Incredible.
Yes. Yeah. You're like, there's the countertops we paid all this money for.
Exactly.
Yeah. Grant, I want to talk a little bit, obviously, about the Dodgers series coming up. But let's just hindsight just a little bit and talk about the series out in Colorado. Obviously, nice to get 2 of 3. Feels like a missed opportunity, but beggars can't be choosers that, you know, you didn't get the sweep out in Colorado. What did you think of the team coming off of that? What did you make of Snicker's decision to start Rosario in that day game on Wednesday?
Yeah, I know a lot has been talked about Eddie Rosario. And look, I'm not here to tell you that, you know, the pickup is going to majorly impact the Braves' chances or, you know, the dynamic of their outfield or that Eddie Rosario should be starting for really anyone else, whether that's Eli Walker, Alex Verdugo, or Michael Harris. It's just, he's a depth piece, and that's really all he was put in there for. But in terms of getting a couple of bats on a getaway day at the end of a 6-game road trip, in a vacuum, I don't really have a problem with that. But more to the point, the Braves just went through an entire series in Colorado, didn't hit a home run. And if you want to look at reasons why you don't score a bunch of runs, it's not Eddie Rosario. You got to look at, well, what was going on in the heart of the order, the top of the order, and maybe Alex Verdugo not playing, that it can impact the top of the order. But really, nobody was doing anything in the finale, I guess is my point. So I feel like Eddie Rosario is a little bit of the whipping boy for this one, and I don't know that, you know, it – is really going to be something we're going to discuss all together that long, because there's this other right fielder that the Braves are going to welcome back in the not-too-distant future who could certainly impact what happens at leadoff in a number of other ways.
Well, we are talking with 92.9 The Game's very own Braves insider, host of From the Diamond, happens to split the bills with me. Grant, we are a month into the season.
Split the bills, Grant!
Some good, some of it's been bad. I think I know the answer to this, but who has surprised you so far this season?
Yeah, there have been some different stories this year than I think maybe we expected. You wanted to see the team normalize and be a little bit more 2023 offense than the 2024 version, but hasn't necessarily completely materialized. But I do feel like they're doing a better job of maybe splitting the difference of 23 and 24. But in terms of just stories and guys that I just have interest in, and I think a lot of Braves fans have, is what's been going on at shortstop, because there was so much discussion in the offseason about, can the Braves upgrade here? Could they find anybody else in Orlando Arcia? In the minds of some, that was the move. Didn't matter who. And Nick Allen, who was acquired a couple after the World Series, one of a slew of minor transactions that the Braves made, finally signing Jerickson Profar at the end of the year, which we don't have to relitigate. That hasn't really worked out so well. But the Nick Allen move has been surprising for the Braves. He is a plus defender who runs the bases extremely well. And on top of that, he's chipping in at the plate at a level in which I think you can call him a useful everyday player. And when you're able to pick those up the way the Braves did, and getting Nick Allen to be a part of this mix and maybe finding at least a temporary answer at shortstop to give you more than you were getting, that's a pretty good story. But the way he plays, his style, you know, everything that he brings to the table, I feel like he's a throwback style ball player. I wrote an article about him for the Marietta Daily Journal this week, and I kind of liken him to Mark Lemke. He's got the specs. Ooh. He wears the eye black. He's 5'8", about 165, 170, so not the biggest guy on the field, but man, you go out there, you're ready to go to war with him because he's going to fight with everything he's got, and I think that matters. You know, that's the intangible stuff that still matters. 2025 baseball above launch, fill and exit velocity, everything else.
Yeah, he doesn't have the chin of Jeff Blauser, who used to play shortstop, so I agree with you. No. Austin Riley is leading the Braves in a few categories, and one of which probably wish he wasn't, which is strikeouts. He had over 30 strikeouts in April. He's projected to have over 200. Look, I think he's off to a decent season, but are we not worried about this strikeout rate? Because there are situations where, just like in Colorado, we need him to just put the ball in play, and instead he walks away with his bat in his hand.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair criticism of baseball in 2025. So right after I get through telling you about the throwback, does a lot of things, little things the right way, puts the ball in play, et cetera, you know, you got to talk about what a slugger looks like in 2025 in modern baseball. And Austin Riley, I think, would be the poster child for that. He's a big, imposing hitter. He puts up his 30 and 100 every year, at least when he's healthy. And you do expect big things out of him. But I feel like with the strikeouts, for one, it's going to normalize. And Matt Olson went through the same thing, I want to say, a couple of years ago, where at one point he was projected for 220 strikeouts. And then at the end of the year, it was a lot, but it wasn't 220. So I think that part will normalize. But really, with a lot of these guys, I know that approach is important. Swing decisions are important. That's kind of where Tim Hyers is preaching that message. But I would say, and I saw Fred Freeman said this, and I wish I could find the quote. I used to have it saved somewhere. Because it's very difficult to just do what the pitcher is trying to put it in play. That might have worked for us at lower levels of baseball and just preach down from a bully pulpit or anything, but it's incredibly hard to do that kind of stuff when guys are spinning sliders with this crazy amount of break and throwing harder, more so open door open. Everybody's throwing hard. So to make a long story as short as I can, I feel like Austin Riley kind of is who he is. Can he make it? Yes, but he's always going to be that slugger that's going to be big and imposing and not necessarily the guy that's going to be able to just reach out and serve it out to right field. And maybe that's just the way baseball is these days. Maybe that's not a great answer. I don't know. But I feel like a lot of these guys, you know, it's baseball itself changed in a lot of ways that maybe for the best, maybe there's still some adjustments to be made. Maybe this will just ramble on forever, but it feels like a big open topic that I don't know that I have the best answer for overall.
It's interesting sitting here. We're talking to Grant McCauley, Braves insider for 92.9. Also realizing, Allie, the look on Allie's face as she realizes the cell signal in her house might not be as good as she thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Just,
she's like, Grant, walk outside.
Go upstairs. Go upstairs.
No, Grant, we'll see if we can get that signal cleared up. But I do want to talk a little bit. You talked about surprising players, right, and guys that you were not sure would be good or how useful they'd be to this team. I've been pleasantly surprised, as have, I think, a number of fans, at tonight's starter Grant Holmes throughout the year. You know, you looked at him and thought, okay, when Spencer Strider comes back, you're looking at a fifth starter. You're looking at a guy that obviously was a career minor leaguer before last year. Look, dude, the perm that is Grant Holmes has been rolling so far this year and has been somewhat of a stopper when at times Chris Sale has not, but he'll get the bump tonight. What do you look for in Grant Holmes, and what do you think he's been doing well so far this year?
Yeah, I just think he's a strike thrower, which helps. He's got good velocity. He's got a great breaking ball to get swings and misses. And when you put all that together, if he can be efficient through six innings and just keep that game close, I think that's really what you're looking for out of Grant Holmes. And, you know, they may not have been able to line up the starters the way they wanted to with Chris Sale in game one. And, you know, we'll see how the weekend plays out, obviously, because the Dodgers are a tough task no matter who's throwing. But I do think that Grant Holmes has just built confidence over this past nearly 1 year in the big leagues. And this opportunity to start right now, I think, is earned. I've talked about this a lot. I don't see three, four other arms in the minors that are vying to push him out of that and back into the bullpen. So unless or until they do have that situation, or unless or until Grant Holmes shows that maybe this opportunity has, you know, past its, you know, shelf life, if you will, then I think he's going to keep getting these chances.
Well, everyone is fixated on the Dodgers this weekend, but right after that, Grant, we do have the Reds. They're a pretty good team as well, so this is going to be a pretty tough homestand, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it will be, and I think that the Reds are one of those clubs that are eyeing some bigger things in 2025 because they've got some young talent that's impressive, none, I think, more so than Ellie De La Cruz, obviously. But they also decided that, hey, we want to figure out how to get to that next level, and they went out and got Terry Francona, who I don't think came out of his very brief retirement to just come collect a paycheck. I mean, he's a culture guy. He is a winner, and I think that the Reds definitely have their eyes on that. They're in second place in the Central right now through 1 month, and I think that there's a better brand of baseball ahead for them as well. I think that they're a tough club. So you can look at the series against the Dodgers, rightfully so, and say, all right, this one's going to be tough, but you're not going to be able to let off at all when the Reds roll in, I don't think, because that's a team that's playing some pretty good ball and is going to be a tough one all throughout the 2025 season. I think they've got their eyes on the postseason, and they might just get there.
Grant, I thought that Chris Sale did a very good job in Arizona kind of getting out of some stuff, and then he goes out, Wednesday against Colorado, and while some might have wanted to criticize the velocity that he had at times, I thought he was maybe his best self. Is he starting to kind of really figure it out finally this year? Because he's kind of been struggling until the last couple starts.
The last couple of starts certainly look better, but I don't know that I'm alone in saying, and I know I posted about it during the game, that, you know, Chris Sale's velocity, I mean, it's troublesome for me in some ways because I think when he needs that extra bit of giddy up, maybe he has it. But you give up a home run on a 91-mile-an-hour fastball, I think a lot of people, including Chris Sale, are going to second-guess, you know, maybe I should have put that in a different place. Maybe I should have had a little bit more on that. I don't know. But that's splitting hairs when you've got a seven-inning, two-run performance with a season high in strikeouts. The results are obviously there. You got to score runs to win. That loss is not on Chris Sale. But we've seen throughout the season that this velocity thing has been, you know, a curiosity at the very least, because you're talking about somebody that typically has been living in that 94, 95 plus area for the entirety of his career. We saw it last year. We see it at times this year. So I don't think it's necessarily an injury related thing for the conspiracy theorists out there, but I am just a little bit curious about, you know, when is he going to find that consistency to be able to get beyond the fifth inning? We're starting to see that the last couple of outings. But that was a problem over the first month or so of the year, which, again, you're not pushing him as far as maybe you need to. But I think it was just fair to kind of wonder what exactly Chris Sale was doing with some of the lower 90s fastballs there, because I don't know if those play up quite as much as, you know, the 94, 95-plus fastball that he can offer for you that seems to have done pretty well over the last 12 to 14 years for him.
Yeah, and, you know, Grant, I just wanted to give you a hard time because I follow you on Twitter. But do you think – real quick follow-up is, should they try to, once they get Strider back and kind of get in a rhythm, maybe move him to every 6 day like they did last year, because maybe that'll help that velocity stay up?
Yeah, they might. And I asked Brian Snitker about this at the winter meetings, because this is something they've done the last couple of years to try and give certain pitchers a little bit of extra time. And is Chris Sale and Reynaldo Lopez last year? And could it be Chris Sale and Spencer Strider this year? Because with Spencer, he's coming back off of a very long recovery from the elbow injury. Now he's got to deal with his hamstring setback, but I do think it could be beneficial to utilize off days and starters where you can to give him a little bit of extra time and give Chris Sale a little bit of extra time if you feel like that works. I don't think that the Braves would be opposed to it. In fact, I rather expect him to maybe at some point, at least middle of the summer, going down to manage innings toward the end of the year, find a way to maybe be creative in that regard.
Grant, real quick, did Han and Chewy get Allie anything for Mother's Day coming up, or are you going to take the bow route?
Well, I can't reveal all of that. They just celebrated a birthday, so they've gotten some presents. But what they've been out shopping and doing, who knows? We'll have to find out this weekend.
Always enjoy it, buddy. Thanks so much. We're having a lot of fun with Allie.
All right, y'all enjoy it. She's the best.
Yeah, she is. Appreciate Grant hanging out with us, man. That is going to do it for us here in week one for Allie. Hopefully you'll come back Monday and won't run away from us.
Well, if you'll have me, I'll be back.
There you go. Bo, get some more sleep tonight and go shopping for a Mother's Day gift, my friend. Go shopping.
Listen. I got plenty of time. You know what? Just enjoy your wife taking you out.
Yeah,
I know that's a role reversal.
I'll be a little arm candy tonight after my soccer game. No big deal.
We just hope you're walking after the soccer game.
Yeah, appreciate you guys hanging out with us so much this week. A lot of fun. We'll be back same time, same place on Monday. Until then, make sure you
stay cool, Atlanta.